I would like to convene this 1,392nd meeting of the Board of Directors. I want to start with an apology for all of you who have been patiently waiting the rest of the board. We've run behind schedule today, and we're going to try and do better about that. Approval of the agenda. I would moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed. Approval of the minutes of December the 19th, 2013. Second. Motion made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Thank you. Report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think you must have been caught in the bad weather and in the Orange Line having some problems this morning. So, I'm still prepared as I am. I'll try to deliver. Basically, we had a very light schedule last month where we went over presentations on momentum and also a brilliant presentation on attracting riders with disabilities to bus and rail services. And we're going to continue working on that to get more people off where it's possible. MB Transportation and Metro Access Operations Center also gave us a presentation of the upgrades and updates that have been done to the system with the new contract. And the other thing that we spent a lot of time on, which I apologize, I only attended it online in the Caribbean during the last storm, was the GPS system that's being put into place. And we're going to be working closely with them to develop overlays for disability descriptions of various bus stops and access programs. We're very excited about that coming in. We also highlighted some of the things that we've done in the previous year, which staff is moving forward on, which is the lighting in the Metro Rail stations, which is moving forward. The signage improvements on interior, exterior, elevator, directional signals, and also a recommendation for literature on evacuation procedures and Metro Access bus. The other thing that happened this week, our getting ready for the hearing that is coming up in the following week, a couple of locations that might have caused problems for accessibility. The locations themselves are fine. The problem is getting there in bus and rail. And the group met with Floyda and with Jack Cambry and explained really what problems were. They have got it all worked. So compliments to them, compliments. No credit for that one. I wasn't there, but public comments were there and did a really good job of describing. And we're all looking forward to hearing. Questions?
Any comments?
I just wanted to say, as all of us enjoy the new lighting in the stations, which I'm now seeing, we thank you for your efforts in getting it there. It's something that serves the entire community.
Well, thank you. Staff worked really well with us. They basically, one of the things that's neat is they do make glasses that when you wear them, you can get every visual disability possible, from cataracts to tunnel vision to retinal dysplasia. And they use that so they can tell all the different problems that we need. And I do apologize to Mr. Bolger, but Farragut North hasn't gotten done quite yet, but it is right.
Which also makes the point that access for all benefits everybody. So thank you for your good work. You pointed out an oversight of mine, and that is to recognize the individuals who had signed up for public comment. And we have Regina Lee.
Regina's right back there in the corner. I think Mike would type in.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to talk, my name is Regina Lee. I'm a Prince George's County resident, Metro Access rider, and I'm a member of the AFA and also the AAC. I have several comments to make today. First of all, I would like the budget survey removed from the from public access, and I'm talking about the Vermont, the budget survey that in conjunction with the hearings. Several of the questions I don't think the way they're asking you to answer are appropriate, like they're asking us whether or not we should decide on the frequency of vehicle replacements, which I don't really think has anything to do with, well, increasing the fare, and I have several other ones. My next issue is that I want to make sure that the Ramada Board clearly understands that Metro Access fares are calculated twice the equivalent bus and rail smart trip fare and based on the fastest trip. However, we may be making a round trip reservation and paying two separate fares each way. So whatever the percentage of the proposed bus and rail fare increase is, Metro Access riders will be paying double that percentage. Also, in April 2011, the Ramada staff presented the board with the conception of the fare calculator as an alternative to lower fare or flat fare for Metro Access. The calculator, however, was not operational until July of 2013. Article written in October 17, 2011, Metro said that the fare calculator was developed to let customers determine what fare they would pay at a given time of day and would allow them to shop for the lowest fare for making a reservation. Metro says fares can be simple to calculate when the trip corresponds with a direct bus or metro route, but many trips are more complex and the plan calculator is not working as it should. My next issue is confusing and false information regarding Metro Access fares. Literature is being passed out at Metro stations that say that the proposed changes to fare calculations, no, this fare would increase in line with Metro Rail and Metro Bus, but maximum fare remains at 7. But there are other issues, so I have everything written out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Heidi Case.
Good morning. I wanted to come out into the light to speak to you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. My name's Heidi. I live in Anacostia, and I am also a member of the AAC. Here to speak to you, I really appreciated what the gentleman said about how accessibility issues are helpful for everyone. And with the aging of the population and the cost to Metro for every Metro Access trip, so it costs you $52 for every Metro Access trip, and the maximum that any Metro Access rider pays is $7, which means you're eating that cost. And I would like to suggest that some of this capital improvement monies that you're gathering through these fare increases be more focused on some of these accessibility issues, the kind of things that keep people from moving out of Metro Access into utilizing bus and rail, which actually is a quality of life issue. The independence, the spontaneity that using bus and rail allows people is life-changing. It was for me. The Metro has done an incredible job in one of those areas, and I must speak for both the Christians, Christian Blake and Christian Kent. They have what used to be a myth about shuttles for elevator outages actually works wonderfully now. Actually is there. Both and other people improve. Okay, sorry. Is the gap between train platforms and trains 2 to 3 inches is something that can ruin my day. And I have to move way back, speed my chair, and run at it to get up and over that hump. And my fear is often that at that speed, will I hit another rail passenger when it's rush hour and trains are very crowded? This is an opportunity, and it's a rare opportunity when inclusion, social justice, and fiscal responsibility are combined. And this is a great way for Metro to consider spending their funds. Leave you with a quote from Gandhi. Be the change you wish to see in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. And our apologies for an intermittent sound system. We're working on it. We're just not working on it fast enough. next, we have the Writers Advisory Council. Good morning.
Exciting moment of the January 8th Writers Advisory Council came when the chair gaveled the meeting to order and we had a full house. For the first time in over a year, we have 20 out of our 21 positions filled. And we want to extend a special thank you to Loida and Don, the board secretary and assistant board secretary, because we think that working on clarifying and strengthening the expectation of council members has brought us a really strong representative body. And we want to thank the board for its work in appointing and reappointing a very diverse group of people. We're diverse in a lot of ways, including skill sets, ridership preferences. We're looking forward to a very energized. We were appreciative of the presentation by the Office of Management and Budget staff, who came and gave us kind of a preview of what they had presented to you the very next day of the 2015 budget draft. And we are encouraging our RAC members to attend the hearings because it's a good way to find out what Metro does, both from the eyes of the writer as well as staff. We also, at our January meeting, talked about the best way to orient members, and I think a real symbol of the interest in this is that we had 8 members of various months of service, ranging from brand new to more senior, signing up to be part of a staff and writer advisory council orientation that will allow us to affect. And during that orientation, we plan to develop a work plan. I'm pleased to make my first report to you. I've been here before as the newly elected 2014 Writers Advisory Council Chair. Other members of the 2014 leadership team are Barbara Hermanson from Virginia, the Vice Chair, and she's from Alexandria, Karen Lynch, Maryland Vice Chair from Prince and Candace Ball from the District of Columbia. And finally, I want to end with commending our 2013 RAC Chair, Ben Ball, who led us to the singular accomplishment of working together with staff and the board for the customer pledge. And thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, and welcome as the chair.
Thank you.
We have I wanted to recognize Mr. Sheehan, and I hope it wasn't Metro that caused you to be late. Bad for the VA, good for us. The report from the chair is brief, and it's a recognition of the difficulty that the system has in operating when temperatures are in single digits. cracked rail is a phenomenon that everybody who operates a railroad understands. Large changes in temperature and easily fracture rail. There is no cure for it. It is something that is part of an operational requirement of a railroad to understand that this happens. And the only thing that I can say to our customers is we're sorry, and we try to repair the damage as quickly as we can when it occurs. And with that, I would recognize the GM CEO for his monthly report.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Winter Storm Janus swept through the region this week, delivering the largest snow accumulations since Snowmageddon 4 years ago. Throughout the storm, Metro Rail and Metro Bus continued serving their riders, and Metro's parking lots and stations remained plowed, shoveled, and salted to ensure safe travel. While many offices were closed, Metro buses transported medical personnel to work at area hospitals, and Metro Rail trains continued to serve commuters, as well as ensure hockey fans were able to cheer on the Capitals during Tuesday night's game at the Verizon Center. While some of our equipment is feeling the effects of the deep freeze that followed the storm, our employees deserve special recognition for their hard work through the storm and this week as they battled the cold to keep people moving. We appreciate their commitment and acknowledge that when the rest of the region hunkers down to ride out a storm, our employees are among the folks who stay on the job to help those who need to travel. Earlier this month, on another particularly cold January morning, I was glad to have so many of you participate in the rollout of our first four 7000 series rail cars. We toured the cars and lighting was bright, the seats were comfortable, the digital displays were easy to read, and the heat was turned on. Testing of the four new rail cars started the very next day and continues during off-peak hours without passengers aboard. In the coming months, we will make the final adjustments needed before giving Kawasaki the go-ahead to begin full production at their Lincoln, Nebraska plant. The 7000 series rail cars were designed with the help of Metro riders, and their introduction on the system will provide customers with a new level of comfort and amenities. I am pleased with the progress being made to bring these cars into service, providing a more customer-friendly and safer ride on the Metro system. The 7000 series rail cars will replace our oldest cars, the 1000 series, and fulfill a key safety recommendation from the National Transportation Safety Board. As we continue to advance this long-term project, I am proud of the work being done to close the other outstanding NTSB recommendations. Earlier this week, we received notification from the NTSB that Metro has fulfilled another safety recommendation. This is the result of our work to ensure the electronic components in Metro's train control system are performing correctly. By updating our testing parameters and the manuals related to component testing, we have satisfied the NTSB that Metro meets the highest safety standards in this area. Of the 29 safety recommendations made to WMATA, this marks our 21st closure, and we remain committed to addressing the final eight. Another important customer service milestone was reached this month when we awarded the contract for Metro's new electronic payment program to Accenture. This contract and the program as it moves forward will improve customer convenience and expand fare payment options on our system. Accenture is now working to establish a pilot program to test a new fare system, one that allows riders to make transactions with a simple swipe of a credit or debit card, federal ID, key fob, or smartphone. The new system will streamline the payment process and allow riders to pay using devices that they already have in their wallets and on their keychains. In the coming year, Accenture will install new fare equipment in 10 Metro Rail stations, aboard 50 buses, and in two parking lots. 2,000 Metro riders will be selected to participate in the pilot program to test the performance and reliability of the new system. One of the most critical elements of implementing a new system will be minimizing disruptions to customers during the transition. That's why we will take a gradual approach to integrating the new technology, and smart chip cards and cash payments will continue to be accepted for the foreseeable future. The new system will be secure and reliable and easy to understand. Our regular customers will enjoy a simple online account experience using their choice of credit or debit card, virtually eliminating the need for riders to use a fare vending machine in the future. For tourists and visitors, the new system will make it even easier to use Metro by eliminating the need to convert money into Metro value before riding. Imagine the future when an out-of-town visitor steps off the plane and walks straight onto the system seamlessly, using a chip-enabled credit or debit card and without stopping to purchase a smart trip card. Riders will be able to transfer from one transit provider to the next, as well as bike share systems using a single device. And for the first time, federal workers will be able to use their work IDs to pay for their Metro ride. Needless to say, there is a lot of work to be done in the coming year to get this pilot program up and running. I have some good news to share with the board regarding Metro bus ridership. Our latest review of ridership shows a net increase of 2.7 million trips on Metro bus in the second half of 2013 compared with the same six-month period in the previous year. This increase extends across all jurisdictions. We saw a 5% increase in the district, 3% in Virginia, and 4% increase in Maryland. The new student program in the district accounts for some of this growth, but we are also seeing increased ridership on the regular system, particularly on weekends. And we expect this trend to continue into 2014. With 165 service improvements implemented in the last year as part of our Better Bus initiative, Metro Bus is now providing more on-time service, greater capacity, and new routes that meet the needs of our customers. Last month, the board approved the docket for a series of public hearings on fare adjustments and the capital improvement program. Since then, Metro staff has been busy getting the word out about the upcoming hearings, informing the public about the proposed budget, and gathering input. A public survey went live on January 2nd, and we are on track to have more than twice as many participants as the last time we did a budget survey 2 years ago, when 3,600 people responded. Throughout January, street teams have been handing out informational brochures at more than 20 Metro rail stations and transit centers, reaching both bus and rail riders. And 9 pop-up events have provided customers the opportunity to talk directly with Metro staff. The Office of Equal Opportunity and Employee Relations is making presentations and collecting comments during 9 meetings at community-based organizations throughout the region. These meetings allow us to reach people with limited English proficiency, as well as low-income immigrant and senior groups that otherwise may not be heard. To further encourage turnout at the public hearings, we have placed display ads in rail cars, buses, and Metro access vehicles. Advertisements are appearing in Spanish and English language print publications like The Express and El Diario. And radio spots are running on talk radio and Spanish language radio stations. The upcoming hearings have been promoted all month on the front page of the Metro website, where we get nearly 1 million visitors per month. As you can tell, the outreach has been thorough, and I look forward to hearing directly from our riders and stakeholders. The public record closes on February 11th, and Metro staff will be working to compile a report on what we have heard at the meetings and through the online survey and other feedback channels. In this month's employee spotlight, we are recognizing Metro Transit Officer Treville Moreland, who demonstrated enormous focus and restraint when confronted with a dangerous situation on a rail station platform. At about 2 a.m. on December 1st, Officer Moreland was on patrol at the Chevrolet Metro station when a call went out for shots fired aboard an Orange Line train. The train pulled in the Chevrolet station, and the altercation that began on board spilled out onto the platform, with 2 males and 1 female involved. As Officer Moreland approached the scene, the female pointed a gun directly at the officer. Think about that. Somebody's pointing a gun directly at you. At that moment, Officer Moreland had no way of knowing that the female was attempting to relinquish the weapon. It was pointed directly at him. Things could have taken a turn for the worse, but Officer Moreland made a quick decision to grab the gun and was able to successfully secure it. He was then able to get control of all 3 individuals involved in the altercation and keep them safe until backup arrived minutes later. Today we take this opportunity to recognize Officer Moreland for his quick thinking, restraint, and outstanding police work. In a situation where many of us would have feared for our lives, Officer Moreland relied on his training to maintain a steady calm. We applaud you for acting swiftly and smartly on the job. Officer Moreland, please come forward and join me for a photo. And that concludes my remarks.
Next, we have the report of the Governance Committee. Mr. Dagg.
Mr. Chairman, we have two actions coming to the board from the December 19th meeting of the Governance Committee. The first is approval of the proposed 2014 board and committee meeting schedule and committee assignments. We basically are moving to present to you the schedule for 2014, and the changes from 2013 include expanding membership on the Customer Service and Operations Committee from 4 to 8 members, and moving the day of the Safety and Security Committee meeting to the fourth Thursday of the month. The motion is in front of you. I would like to move its approval at this point.
Motion made, second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
The second motion is approval of the 2014 board officers. The committee approved the nominations of the following individuals to serve as the board's leadership for 2014. Chair, Tom Downs. Vice Chair, Mort Downey. Second Vice Chair, Alvin Nichols. Those individuals, along with Mrs. Hudgens, continuing to serve as the immediate past chair, will constitute the board's 2014 executive committee. I move approval of this motion.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's opposed.
That's it.
That concludes the report of the Governance Committee. I'm going to take the jurisdiction reports out of sequence. Before we address the consent items, so the District of Columbia has no report this meeting. The State of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia.
I have no report, but I'd like to take this time to recognize the Executive Director of NBTC that's joined us today. Thank you.
That's a gray hair. And the federal government. Thank you. We have on the agenda a consent calendar. The board needs to have an executive session to ensure that there is actually consent about the consent calendar. So we will adjourn for a period of time to confirm that there is consent on the consent calendar, and then be back to take action on that consent calendar. So we'll be back. Mr. Downey would like to amend the federal report.
Yes, I certainly should have brought to everyone's attention that the Congress of the United States has enacted an appropriations bill for the coming year, for the full year, and in that appropriations bill restored the full $150 million contribution towards the Metro Capital Program. We're very happy that that's going to work out.
Yay!
And we hope that the continued federal contribution to the rebuilding program provides the basis for all the parties to come together and reach a multi-year capital agreement for what we need to get done.
And in particular, recognizing the contributions that the regional congressional members had on this positive outcome.
Notably, the chair of the
and Appropriations Committee. And the other is that the board recognizes the consent calendar and agrees that it is a consent calendar item. So with that recognition.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we
consent calendar. The motion.
The motion, I'm sorry, the motion is that we, offer a substitute as presented here for the resolution in the second item.
Third item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed. Thank you. That concludes this board meeting session. Thank you.